Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor,
mantenga. Hey guys, on the monorail.
Wait, where's Joe?
He's busy hanging with the Quack Pack.
Why are you so angry?
Alex, I just can't stand Daisy, all this Disney pandering.
It's a cartoon duck, man. Calm down.
No. I refuse to calm down. I'm so angry, I'm gonna start giving the rest of my apartment away.
Welcome to episode 206 of the Diz His Podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
And Joe might join us. He's having audio issues. So instead of having bad audio, Joe is currently trying to fix his audio issues and he'll jump in when he can. But tonight, we're doing the episode on Daisy Duck. How excited are you, Chris?
Are you serious?
Yeah. How excited are you 1 to 10?
-3.
That wasn't an option, I guess. I bet you did well in school.
I didn't, actually, because I was too busy
hating on Daisy Duck.
Daisy Duck.
Right now, we're recording live for Goof Troop. If you want to watch us live once a week, sign up for Goof Troop. Go to dishis.com and go to the link. You can join as low as $2 a month. And as well, if you join our Goof Troop, you will be in our drawings that we do every month for giveaways, gifts of whatnot. And there's also chat rooms constantly going. It's bumping every day with Disney fans talking about Disney. So if you love to talk about like-minded people who love Disney, join our chat room because it is fun. Just go to dishis.com and go ahead and join over there. And if you wanted to send us an email, you can email us at dishis65@gmail.com. I said that fast. So I'll say it again slowly. dishis65@gmail.com. And you can send us any information you want. You can give us ideas for episodes, talk about things you like. If you're a long listener, tell us things we might have forgotten to do in a while. I know I was looking through episodes and seeing some old games, and I was like, oh, man, we haven't done that type of game in a while. So if you have anything like that to add, please send us an email and let us know. Also, you can also tell me what you had for lunch. That's always a fun thing.
I prefer the voices of people. So if you want to whisper sweet nothings into the voicemail of the Disney's podcast, you can give us a call at 707-842-0345. I think the best way to describe our Goof Troop, which is our Patreon members, is like a cool cult, right, Alex? Like a cool cult.
No. For law purposes, we are not a cult.
That's fair.
But yes, send us a voicemail. And sometimes, if we like your memories, we'll share them live on the podcast. I think we're 100% with sharing live memories. I think every live memory that has called in has been shared on the podcast.
Yeah, and between the three of us as well. Like usually we'll just, if we hear a really good memory, we'll just put it on loop. And while me, Alex, and Joe, like as soon as we're done the podcast, we go into a Discord room. We don't say anything. We just listen to your memories over and over again. So then your memories become our memories.
Because we want all the memories.
Give us your memories.
Memories. Talking about memories. Okay, so today is on Daisy Duck. She's a Disney character who's now part of the Fab Five. She started as a love interest for Donald Duck in the 40s and blossomed into a full-fledged member, appearing in all Disney-related IP. She can be found in all the Mickey cartoons, at theme parks, on cruise ships, and in video games. She isn't as iconic as Minnie or Mickey, but has quite a following, which will purchase all the merchandise related to Daisy Duck.
So it was the Fab Five, Alex, but with the addition of Daisy, it's actually called the Stupid Six now.
Oh, is it not the Fab Five now?
Mm-mm, no, wait, it's the Stupid Six.
So Mickey 1, Minnie 2, yeah. Goofy 3, mm-hmm. Daisy 4.
No. Mm-mm.
Pluto 5.
No. What about Goofy?
Oh, Goofy. So yeah, Fab Five with Daisy. Mickey, no. Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Daisy. That's the Fab Five.
Pluto.
Pluto isn't part of it.
Oh, he is.
He's on stage shows. He's nowhere to be seen in Disney parks.
That's not true. That is completely false.
You've met him live in Disney parks?
I don't meet anybody,
oh,
Alex.
So you haven't met him live.
I don't have kids, all right?
I mean, I've been in line. There's a lot of Disney adults with no kids.
Whoa. That's a secret. We don't tell the secrets of others, Alex. No, I don't. Listen. I waited in line to meet BB-8.
Okay, that's a good one.
Very disappointing.
Why?
He didn't even say anything to me. I couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Well, that's because you don't speak robot.
Right. So very disappointed. They should have put that in fine print before I waited 45 minutes to see him. I'm asking all these questions. I go with my pad and paper trying to get an interview with BB-8. Doesn't even roll. First of all, not even rolling around. Pretty sure he's stationary. I don't think that he rolls around. Second of all, the second person I met, because it was Hollywood Studios, was Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that was painfully awkward.
Yeah, painfully awkward.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'll later on for This Week in Disney, I'm going to talk about us going to Disney, my family I'm talking about. And we went to go see some characters. We went to go see, what was it called? Pete's Silly Sideshow. And we saw Goofy, Donald, Minnie, and Daisy all there.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who was in front of us for Goofy and Donald by himself, probably like a mid-20-year-old. And he had a sketch pad because he drew each character and having them sign their own drawings drew himself.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
If I had more than one day at each park, maybe I'd do that. But I'm not waiting 45 minutes to meet, magician Mickey when I can be like,
I understand. We have the passes so we can go multiple times. And we said today we're just meeting characters and riding a few rides and kind of just going as the day goes because we have kids. 4 and 6, so we're not going to go too hard, and so that allowed us to do that because that took a lot of time meeting all those characters. We met a lot of people.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And that was most of the part the day was doing that.
Well, I saw photos, and we'll talk about this more later. But the photo ops with the kids are awesome. So yeah, I would wait in line for 3 hours if I had a kid to meet, just so I could get that photo op, so I can get like 100 likes on Instagram.
But you could just Photoshop it, Chris.
Oh, now you're talking.
Let's get to the his on Daisy Duck.
You can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two. Yes, we look sweet.
Daisy Duck, who is now part of the Fab Five, was once known as Donald's love interest or Minnie Mouse's best friend, but she's now a very popular character and is considered part of the core of Mickey's pals. Daisy Duck is known for her ruffled tail feathers and large eyelashes. She often wears a hair bow, blouse, and heeled shoes. She typically wears indigo eyeshadow and changes her clothes colors often, but is often in her purple and pink outfits. Daisy Duck was designed by Al Taliaferro, who is also known for designing Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Some people may think that Daisy's first appearance for Disney was the 1937 short film Don Donald, where Donald meets Donna Duck, a Latin-inspired duck whose personality mimics Donald's. But this film was really just an inspiration for Carl Barks and Al Taliaferro. Carl Barks was a lead storyboard artist and screenwriter for the short film Mr. Duck Steps Out, and was inspired by Don Donald. Al Taliaferro based his design on Donna Duck for the short. Daisy was voiced by Clarence Nash, the original voice of Donald, who used a Donald Duck-like voice for Daisy.
Daisy Duck.
Yes.
Ugh. Listen, I'm going to pretend to like her for this episode.
No, don't pretend anything.
Okay. Hate this duck. She has a ruffled tail feathers. Ironic because she ruffles my tail feathers as well. She's not a new member of the Fab Five. You can't have a group called the Fab Five if there's 6 members. What are we just kicking Pluto to the curb?
Yes.
That's just weird, man. That's weird because.
So when you say like, oh, me, like if I say my family's coming to a party, my dogs aren't coming with me.
Your dog's not also not an international superstar. Like if you had Lassie as a dog, they'd be like, oh, Alex, you're here. And then they'd say that Lassie wasn't with you. And they'd be like, oh, where's Lassie at? Like that's if I see the five, the what you're calling the Fab Five, walk in and where's Pluto at? Where's Pluto? And you know, people were making the argument, well, Pluto doesn't talk. Guess what? At the parks, none of them talk. So yeah, give me Pluto for Daisy. I'd probably even trade I'd trade one of the chipmunks for Pluto as well.
Trade out one of the chipmunks?
Yeah, they just kind of moseyed their way into this like core group. Like I got the picture of the the Disney 50th costumes.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the Disney 100th. And Chip and Dale just kind of mosey their way into it. They just like forced their way into these. Like,
they were very
photos.
Popular in the 80s and 90s.
It's not the 80s and 90s anymore, though.
I agree.
Like, it's like they don't really need to be there anymore. Like, they forced their way into all these photo ops. Like, oh, remember us? No, not really. Yeah,
and their size doesn't even make sense compared to the characters, because they're in cartoons. They're nowhere near the same size as Mickey.
No. Yeah, it's just very weird. It's
it really brings me out of the magic. It makes me realize I'm not in a real cartoon.
It's really hard to explain to like my niece that like when I say yes, that's the real Mickey Mouse, and then Chip and Dale come monstering it, like, okay, well, those ones are just fans. That they're not the real ones. Mickey is, but they are. Yeah, it's just it totally that forced perspective is going a little bit too far here, Disney.
So would you like, let's say they didn't make Daisy Duck, let's say they stayed with Donna Duck, the Latin inspired duck. Ooh. Who had the same temperament as Donald. Do you think you'd like her more with the Donald type accent? She also would have the speech impediment.
Yeah, I like that. First of all, inclusivity. Did I say that right? We're gonna pretend I said it right.
Kind of.
Bringing in a Latin member who is an animal, but nonetheless Latin. yeah, I think that would be awesome. And you get a little more of a tie in to Donald's random role as one of the three caballeros. So. Kind of makes a little sense. Donald, oh my gosh, I keep messing her name. Daisy Duck, not Daffy Duck. Daisy Duck, forced cash grab there. Like, it's just a forced, like, everyone's so head over heels around Donald. Let's do a female duck. So original.
But at least she's not the same temperament as Donald. She's a different person entirely. You're saying you'd rather have the same character just in female form.
I think it'd be hilarious. I think that'd be hilarious, first of all. Also, a little insensitive on Disney's part. Why do they have to date in the same species? Why can't they explore outside the species?
Hey, I said the same thing when you're watching, like, let's say you're watching Zootopia. Like, there's no mixed creatures in there.
See, that's insensitive to me. And, you know, with this big cancel culture that we have out here today and about Disney doing all these wrong things in their movies, we got to bring up this conversation, Alex.
Well,
what's going on
here? If
you
remember a long time ago, and I think there's Three Caballeros or one of the other ones, Donald fawned over a real woman in one of the cartoons. Do you
I like
this?
That. Give me that. That would be great. That would actually be hilarious.
I think she ended up giving me a kiss at the end.
Yeah, give me like a real woman. Like have the Fab Five and just have this random woman that Donald is married to. I'd love to see their kid too. That would be an interesting child.
It wasn't until 1945 that Gloria Blondell took over voicing Daisy Duck, who then proceeded to give her a more normal voice. She voiced Daisy until 1947. In 1948, Ruth Clifford took over the vocals through the early 1950s. There would be many other voice actresses who took on the role until Tress McNally started doing the majority of the vocals for Daisy in 1999. Daisy Duck has appeared in 15 films, with her first being, as stated before, Mr. Duck Steps Out in 1940. She wasn't seen again until Cure Duck in 1945. She then was in 3 cartoons in 3 years, becoming a standard character. She appeared in 11 total short films between 1940 and 1954, always Donald-related. It wasn't until the 80s that she would get a large role in the Disney animated film Mickey's Christmas Carol. In the 90s and early 2000s, Daisy became a standard feature in Disney cartoons, appearing on Quack Pack, Mickey Mouse Works, House of Mouse, and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. She also appeared in most of the Mickey Mouse cartoons that ran between 2013 and 2019, solidifying her as a core member of Mickey's pals and Minnie's best friend. Through these times, Daisy did undergo some changes to her appearance and personality. As time went on, Daisy morphed from a damsel in distress to an assertive, strong personality that could even keep Donald in line. Her outfit rarely changed, always donning her matching heels and bow.
This just screams pandering to me. You're pandering to just women duck lovers. All the women duck lovers out there were just pandering to them. What about the people who like cows? I, for one, am a Clarabelle cow fan.
Me too. I'm a Clarabelle cow fan as well.
What happened to people like us, Alex? Why don't we get representation in the parks?
Because then if you're lactose intolerant, you can't meet her.
I'm allergic to duck.
There are
I had duck pate
duck
once.
That's real.
Yeah, I went to sleep on a duck feather pillow, woke up the left side of my face was three times its size. I look like Eddie Murphy in that one movie where he gets swollen on his face.
Well, he gets swollen on his face?
Yeah, Nutty Professor, maybe?
The Nutty Professor. He wasn't swollen, though. That was cosmetics.
Oh, are you serious? Bigger. Oh, wow.
That was
the more you know.
Not real stuff.
So, I didn't talk. So I'm talking about non-representation and stuff. But listen, you're not being represented tonight. Do you like Daisy Duck?
Do I like Daisy Duck?
Yes.
I mean, I don't. I don't hate her like you do, apparently.
I wouldn't say you don't like Daisy Duck.
I wouldn't buy any Daisy Duck apparel. I wouldn't wait in line to meet her if I was by myself. I wouldn't wait in line to meet anybody, really. But I wouldn't. I don't really care that much about Daisy Duck. But she's in the shows and she's entertaining in the shows. She's in the shorts. She's entertaining in shorts. Did you see Daisy Duck in the new Quack Pack?
I don't know what that is, unfortunately. But you know what? Take her out of the Fab Five. Put her in the Quack Pack. I'm all for that.
You don't know what Quack Pack is?
I don't know what the Quack Pack is, Alex. I hope to know what the Quack Pack is. Can you please explain it to me?
It was a cartoon in the 90s, Toon Disney. But I'm going to grab a image. Okay, so there's Daisy Duck and Quack Pack.
What is that?
That's a Quack Pack Daisy Duck.
I hate Daisy even more now. What is that? That looks like when Rugrats did that like spinoff where it was like Rugrats all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like middle-aged Daisy. That looks like midlife crisis Daisy.
Because this is the Quack Pack. This is like it was the Quack Pack was Donald and the it was about the you know Huey, Dewey, and Louie. What? Yeah.
Yeah, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
And that was their style.
Huey.
But she was in a lot of cartoons in the 90s. She was in a lot of stuff until the 80s. She wasn't really anything until, I would say, the 80s is when she became a popular character. And if you know a Daisy Truther, they are big into Daisy.
Really?
Yeah, man. You don't know no Daisy Truthers?
No, I try to stay away from them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, yeah. It's like anything. People have their favorite characters. And when they have their favorite characters, they are all in on those characters, wearing Daisy shirts, you know, Daisy backpacks.
Never seen one.
Never seen a Daisy shirt?
I guess not looking for them, but yeah, no, I don't see a lot of Donald Duck like Oh Fooey shirts and like, you know, yeah. I feel like every middle-aged dad has a
yes.
Or every dad, I feel like has a Donald shirt.
I had a Donald Duck shirt. It was my Christmas shirt.
Yeah, that's why I rephrased middle-aged, because I think you just need to be a dad to have a Donald Duck shirt.
Just a dad who of course is angry at all the money he has to spend.
Every dad has that Hakuna Matata shirt that they wear when they go to Animal Kingdom.
Every dad has that shirt.
Every single dad.
Yes.
And they also have a some sort of Donald Duck dad joke shirt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't know if all moms have a Daisy Duck shirt though, Alex. I think you're seeing my point here now. I think we've reached the climax of my argument of why Daisy is not a good character. There we Ryan, our Patreon member.
Who's
Ryan
not a
is
dad.
Putting up the not a dad yet, but he's ready because he has the trademark Hakuna Matata shirt.
Does he have white it's New Balance shoes?
They're in the mail. If he doesn't have them, they're definitely in the mail for Memorial Day weekend. Or 4th of July. Yeah, but not every mom has a Daisy Duck shirt, and I don't think they ever will. You know what I mean? Like, she's just not a staple. And I think that's part of the reason why she annoys me. It's like they just force Daisy on us. But anyway,
other Ryan in the chat has a Daisy Hakuna Matata shirt as well.
See?
Yeah.
Told you.
He is a dad.
I would like to see the stats on character representation in these shows. Like you said that she doesn't pop up until this time. I wonder how often she appeared in
these
shows.
She's a lot of them.
Like a lot, sure, but I would love to see the numbers. Like I'd love to see like
especially the new ones, Clubhouse, like all those new ones. She is a part of the main cast. She's not a side character. She's a main cast person.
Yeah, I won't say like her, but I do tolerate her in the shorts. In the, what would you even call them? Just Mickey and Friends shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah, love, I mean, I've never watched a bad episode of one of those. And when Daisy's in them, they're not bad.
Exactly.
As her screen time has increased, her backstory has been fleshed out. She has three triplet nieces, mirroring Donald and his nephews. Daisy's parents had appeared in Donald comic shorts, as well as uncles, aunts, and cousins. Daisy appeared in many comics from 1940 to 2004. Her first original comic, launched in the 1950s, was named Daisy Duck's Diary. The cartoonist for this comic was Dick Moores, Jack Bradbury, Tony Strobel, and Carl Barks. It continues to be produced for Italy. Since the 1970s in Italy, Daisy has even had an alter ego superhero named Super Daisy, or in Italian, Paprika. During these comic books, Daisy gets frustrated with Donald's short temper and immaturity, and will often break up with Donald and go on dates with his cousin and rival, Gladstone Gander. Daisy continues to appear in almost every Mickey cartoon series, as well as features films like The Three Musketeers and Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas. She was in Mickey's Roadster Racers, which aired from 2017 to 2021, and is currently in The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse, which debuted in 2020. She is also seen in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, which premiered in 2021. At the Disney parks, Daisy is a key feature. She became available meet and greet at Pete's Silly Sideshow after Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom got a makeover. At Epcot, she appears at the main entrance sometimes and can also be seen at restaurants like Tusker House and Minnie's Springtime Diner at Hollywood and Vine. Daisy can be found at the parks and on cruise ships, but is not always represented, which makes her a semi-exclusive meet and greet. In the digital gaming world, Daisy can be seen in all video games that revolve around Disney characters. Toontown Online, Disney Think Fast, Mickey Speedway USA, Disney Golf, Disney's Party, Epic Mickey, Dance Dance Revolution, Disney Grooves, and in the Kingdom Hearts series, she appears as a countess in Disney Castle.
So you did touch a little bit on how she was in the comics. Kind of interesting how it said in there that the comics are still being written to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says apparently since the 1970s, the Italian Daisy comic is still going strong.
Pretty cool. Now, every year I go to Comic-Con in New York, and everybody, it's kind of cool. I was never into comics. Still, I'm not into comics. My wife would divorce me if I got into another hobby, collecting hobby. so I don't think I'll get into comics, but it's always cool to browse and look to see what they have there. My friend is really into comics, so he can kind of tell me like, oh, this is out there for a real good deal, or look how expensive this one is. But anyway, I never realized until I started going to these comic conventions that there's like a lot of old Disney comics, and they are really cool. It's cool to see the transformation into the transformation of from like the introduction of these characters to present day, because you can see kind of how they evolved through the years. Mm-hmm. Donald Duck was one of the, I didn't see any Daisy ones, but Donald Duck is one of the older Disney comics that I saw that it was pretty expensive for like a, you know, I think it was the first appearance of Donald Duck. Mm-hmm. But I was just at a flea market few months ago and I was looking and they had dozens of these Disney comics, and I feel like that would be something that would be kind of cool to get into is read some of these comics. I'm sure they'd be pretty funny and witty just because that's how these Disney characters are. I wonder if I know that Marvel has a service called Marvel Unlimited where you can read all the Marvel comics and mm-hmm. even Star Wars now. I wonder if they have anything for Disney comics, because that would be interesting. I don't think I'd want to dump a lot of money into Disney comics, but if they had a service like that or something, I think I'd probably give it a shot and read some of these older, like Introduction to Daisy Duck, for instance. That would be kind of cool to see how she was introduced in the comics.
Yeah, yeah. That would be kind of cool to read some of these comics, especially if you could read some of the older ones. I think that'd be fun for sure to go back and, you know, not only see, like you said, see how they look back then and how they act, because I imagine Donald act differently back then than he did now. Because, you know, he had more of what's the duck? Warner Bros. Duck.
Daffy Duck.
He had more of a Daffy Duck feel when he first started on, kind of like loony and, you know, doing crazy stuff. And he's calmed down since then because he met Daisy. And, you know, now he wears a suit and tie if he has to.
Yeah, you're right. He was almost like what you would call, I guess, like a Looney Tune. So I wonder if these comic books are canon. And I wonder how, like, you know what I mean? I wonder how serious they take the backstories and the stories that they write in the comic books. Like, did that really happen to the Donald and Daisy that I'm seeing at the Disney parks type thing? You know what I mean?
You should
ask them. Are these stories like in the larger backstory of these characters? You know, like, will we ever, like, if I'm reading a comic book and I see, will they ever reference something that happened back then on a TV show that I'm watching?
Yeah, that's interesting. It'd be so funny. You wait in line for half an hour. You walk up to Donald and goes, so in Donald series 101 in 1974, it says
page
here
76.
It says here that you love beignets. Is that true?
And then
he goes, yes. I go, I tricked you. It says you hate beignets.
You gotta wonder, like, if anything that was written in the comics attributes to some of their backstories or their mannerisms or whatever that you see in the shows today, you know?
Yeah, that would be
so
interesting.
So I'm just curious. That's like kind of why I want to read them. I love reading old Marvel comics to see how much of it gets pulled from that into the MCU. I'd love to see how much of it of the Disney comics it gets pulled out and used in the Mickey cinematic universe, I guess also the MCU.
You know who probably could do a job at finding out if the old history comics are used today would be a Disney history podcast.
That's true. So Chris, why don't you contact one?
It says here that she is semi-exclusive because she's not found everywhere. So you're right. She's not everywhere to be seen, but that makes her more sweet because you find her and you're like, oh, I found Daisy. I got to take a picture with her.
It also makes her probably less popular because it doesn't pay the bills to show her everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I want to know about this Dance Dance Revolution Disney Grooves. I love Dance Dance Revolution going up. I would love to see Disney Grooves.
That might be something we have to stream on Twitch one night.
And is, then Mickey's Speedway USA? Is that like a Daytona Speedway USA?
Yeah, like I am all in on all of these things that were listed at the end. Like
gotta
we're gonna have to find some emulator or something.
Yeah, for sure. I think it would be amazing. I like Daisy and like I've seen the new cartoons because my kids watch it.
The shorts you're talking or Clubhouse?
No, actual Clubhouse. Yeah. Mickey's Roadster Racers. I've seen these and she's pretty decent in it. She's an entertaining character. She almost talks as much as Minnie. Like if you're talking about like lines, she has as much as Minnie does. So she's just as big of a character as Minnie.
Yeah, she's fine in the shorts just because I think the writing in the shorts is just top notch. I think that the writing for that show is just amazing. And so I think any kind of dialogue that Daisy has is going to just automatically be good because the writers of the show are great. I've never watched Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse. I was a little old when that first came out.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch Hot Diggity Dog for the first time a couple months ago. Great song. So that's a surprise it didn't win a Grammy. That's a really good song.
Did you put it on an hour loop like I've done before?
It was close to it, or what felt like an hour loop, because my nephew was over and we were watching. He just loves the hot dog song. So
that's a great song. It's a good song. It was written by They Might Be Giants, which is
really
a great band.
That's kind of embarrassing that they wrote that, because that's like it's three words.
It's not three words.
I think it's just hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog.
We got time to cheer or something like that. Like there's more words in there.
That's all I heard was hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog.
It's a whole long track. You can find it online.
After he left, I will admit I did listen to it on repeat times for the rest of the night.
So update you on Joe, because I mentioned he might be coming to the episode. Unfortunately, he cannot get his mic to work. He thinks he needs to get some new cords, but he is in the chat room. So if he has anything to say, he will put it on the chat room and I will read it out for him. I'm curious if he has any info or opinions on Daisy Duck.
Oh, he just wrote in one of the most overrated characters. No, I'm just kidding. He just put, I like Daisy. Very, very thought out. Did ChatGPT write that for you, Joe?
No. ChatGPT would have wrote a real paragraph.
Quick fire, quick facts. Let's go.
Since 1999, Daisy has had her own magazine in the Netherlands. And during the late 90s, she also had one in Brazil.
Daisy Duck can be spotted in the 1988 movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
According to the Encyclopedia of Animated Disney Shorts and Big Cartoon Database, Don Donald is considered to be Daisy's debut. Disney even released a collector's pin which reads, Daisy Duck debuts as Donna Duck, 1937.
During the 50s in British and American comic strips, Donna Duck was introduced as Daisy's rival.
We here at DizHiz think Daisy Duck is a great addition to the Mickey Friends core group. She has grown into a beloved character by many Disney fans. She has become a great role model for girls with a strong, independent character. Daisy has blossomed into a key character in the Disney universe and can be seen in almost all of Mickey's shows or shorts.
Dreaming of a Disney vacation? If you aren't able to go enjoy the resorts, then get yourself some 3 Cheeky Chicks wax melts. Studies show smells help bring forward memories, so these smells are a must-have if you want to put yourself back at these grand resorts. Go to MagicallyScented.com to order scents like Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's an earthy smell with sage, lemon, and lime. There is a Port Orleans French Quarter, which has fragrance of flowers, cotton, mandarin blossoms, freesia, and peonies. The Wilderness Lodge Melt smells of mahogany, blood orange, red pepper, sage, cognac, bourbon vanilla, golden amber, tonka bean, and sandalwood. The Vero Beach Melt will transport you with its orange blossom, star jasmine, velvet roses, and greens. Just visit magicallyscented.com and use promo code DizHiz20 to purchase a wide range of wax melts, candles, and room sprays, all made by three cheeky chicks. That's three cheeky chicks at magicallyscented.com, promo code DizHiz20. That's three cheeky chicks at magicallyscented.com.
Hey, do you want to hear something really cool, Alex?
Sure do.
So let me tell you a little bit about the Goof Troop, Alex. Do you know about the Goof Troop?
I kind of do.
Well, it's a great way to support the show. You get access to our live shows, which is like a total mess.
Oh, it's a total mess. I edit it, and I have to sit there and make sure it sounds professional.
Yeah, and it's not at all. We do giveaways, you know, a couple times a month. We're always giving away wax melts. We're giving away candles. You know, we're giving away books.
It's not fair because I can't be in the giveaways because I'm a host.
I always try to get in the giveaways, but yeah, it's really not right if I join in, right?
No.
But you can support us for as low as $2 a month, and you can get access to all of these things.
Just for $2?
Yeah, just for $2.
Wow.
In our Discord chat, I mean, our Discord chat is off the chain. It is awesome. It's a lot of fun. We have made lifelong friends in our Discord chat.
It's bumping, as the kids would say.
It is bumping, as the kids are saying. And you can, you know, we have a bunch of great Patreon members that keep our chat super active. There's so many great members that I look forward to every morning to wake up and to talk to every day.
So where do you get join this Patreon?
So, good question there, Alex. All you have to do is go to dizhiz.com, dizhiz.com. On the very top, there's a Goof Troop link. Just hit the Goof Troop link. Takes you to our Patreon, and there's so many different ways you can support our show.
And as low as $2 a month.
As low as $2 a month. And it helps us keep our website up. It helps us with advertising, you know? So for as low as $2 a month, you can help support our show. You can help us advertise, get our show out there to more people so they can listen. And so because we love to interact with fans. We love interacting with everyone. So go ahead and join our Discord.
Check us out streaming on award-winning Disney streaming site Sorcerer Radio on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch us again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Sorcerer Radio is an amazing 24/7 Disney radio. Just visit srsounds.com or download the Sorcerer Radio app.
Hey, I'm Joe from the Diz Hiz.
And I'm Nick from Sandpiper Vacations.
We will be teaming up to give one of the best travel experiences ever.
I am a travel agent with Sandpiper Vacations. We are able to book any vacation destination around the world, including Disney, cruises, and all-inclusive resorts.
We have been working here at the Diz Hiz to become travel agents. And with our knowledge of the parks, we want to plan the best Disney trip for you.
Using us as a travel agent, we are updated on the latest and greatest information about all of the destinations. We can help save you time, stress, and sometimes some money. Using our services costs you absolutely nothing. It is completely free to you, and we are happy to assist you with giving you more value for your trip.
So if you're looking to book your next Disney trip, go to DizHiz.com. Check out DizHiz Destinations on the very top.
Check us out on Weeby Geeks, a new podcast website where you can find all your favorite geeky content. Just head over to WeebyGeeksPC.com. That's WeebyGeeksPC.com. And listen to all the other awesome podcasts, as well as Diz Hiz.
Diz Hiz. Review.
So D Plus this week is The Phantom Menace. And Chris, I know you like The Phantom Menace. I know I like The Phantom Menace. So talk about why you like The Phantom Menace. Episode one of Star Wars, if you don't know.
So Phantom Menace was the first. Phantom Menace is probably what got me into Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Because The Phantom Menace came out in the year 1999. I was 4 years old. So that was very popular, like your Burger Kings, your Taco Bell, mm-hmm. like McDonald's. They had all the toys and everything.
Everywhere.
So being 4 years old and The Phantom Menace coming out, I loved the most hated character in all of Star Wars, Jar Jar Binks, because to me, Jar Jar was my hero. Like, I love Jar Jar Binks.
And we know we talked about it before, because you were the perfect age for Jar Jar. Age yes. between like 2 and probably 6 was like the 100%. Perfect age for Jar Jar Binks. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to get the young audience. The old audience already loved Star Wars. They didn't have to capture their imaginations, but they had to capture the young audience.
And it's a great way to look at
it. And the older audience hated Jar Jar Binks because they weren't young anymore. Just like how they loved Ewoks when they were kids, you love Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's true. And Star Wars is a great way of adding these quote unquote dumb characters to the show, to the movie. I was going to say show, but I'll go on that in a second. To the movies to make them, you know, sell merchandise, sell t-shirts, sell toys. I said the word show on accident because I'm in the middle of watching The Clone Wars and Jar Jar Binks has a huge role in that show. And I'm a Jar Jar, as you say, truther. I love Jar Jar. And I like the episodes with him in it. They're great. I like that he has this dumb role. Like I just love the character that he plays.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part or scene in The Phantom Menace?
I love the pod races. I love the pod races. I was 11 when it came out, and I think I was a great age because I was able – and my sibling was 7 years older than me. So they were 18, and they took me to go see it because they love Star Wars. And when they got done, they thought it was okay. They didn't love it, of course, but I loved it. I love the pod races. And, you know, I was around 11. You know, Anakin was a little younger than me, but still a young kid doing crazy stuff. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's awesome. And Absolutely. Then they released the pod racing game for Xbox. And oh, my God. And I said Xbox for you younger ones. Just Xbox. Done. Right there. No numbers afterwards. And I love that game so much. I loved the pod racing game. So that with the movie got me into it. And then as I got older, I really love other characters in the movie as I got older. Mm-hmm. I really like Phantom Menace. Now, I know a lot of people come around on the Phantom Menace. I know a lot of people who hate it when it first came out has watched it, you know, recently and said, oh, it's not as bad as I remember. It's pretty good. I've always been a fan of it. And then as I got older, I became fans for different reasons.
I was just going to touch on that, Alex. And I think you're saying that because when you go back, when you watch the whole trilogy, both trilogies, and you kind of see the importance of the characters that you're watching in episodes 4, 5, and 6. Emily loves the prequels. My wife, we went back and watched 4, 5, 6, and we watched 1, 2, 3. And she thinks it is so cool that you can see the growing up of Darth Vader. I'm going to send a picture in chat right now. This could be the best movie poster of all time.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's with Anakin and his shadow is Darth Vader.
And you know, if it was the other way around, they couldn't have that poster because at that point you wouldn't know he becomes Darth Vader. But because it was out of order, you knew who Darth Vader was. You understood that this kid is going to become Darth Vader. So watching him grow up in episode 1 and 2, I mean, you see it more in 2, but in episode 1, you really are like, how is this kid become Darth Vader? Like, what?
But you see his genius and him, you know, building C-3PO at the age of, what, probably 10?
Yeah,
you know?
Something like that.
I just think, looking back at the prequels, I think that the hate they get is very, it's not warranted. Like, I think the prequels are a vital piece in telling the story of Star Wars. It's just so cool because 4, 5, and 6, you don't know any of these people's backstories at all. You don't know any of this stuff. And I think 1, 2, 3 really fills that void. And whether or not you like or don't like an individual movie out of the prequel trilogies, as a trilogy and as a vital piece to the bigger picture of Star Wars, it played such an important role. And that all started with The Phantom Menace. Now, before I go on, I'd be doing him a big disservice if I didn't bring up Darth Maul, because we didn't even talk about Darth Maul yet.
He's amazing.
Just the double lightsaber.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
He was amazing.
You have this guy who is – Darth Maul is in what is regarded as one of the worst Star Wars movies.
Yes.
To many, is one of the most popular characters ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
he's the Boba Fett treatment, where Boba Fett was in like barely any of the Star Wars movies, but he's one of the most popular characters. Yeah. Darth Maul, same thing. So
but
much
Darth
so.
Maul was in like three times longer of the film.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But Darth Maul was so much so one of the, a fan favorite. They had to bring him back to life.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They had to save.
You know what I mean?
The dark side saved his life. He was cut in half and fell 1,000 feet or kilometers. I don't know what you want to say, but yeah, the dark side. He was so evil. He came back to life with his robotic legs.
And and everybody loved him so much that no one cares. Now, there is a fun fact about Darth Vader that we just talked about the other day that
Darth
I want to touch
Maul,
on. Yes, Darth Maul, though, I want to touch on that you're just talking about. You want to bring that up?
Yeah, so me and Chris were hanging out, and we both saw the same TikTok, and what it showed was when they're doing makeup for Darth Maul, the guy who played Darth Maul has an earring, and he forgot to take it out. So when they shot a scene, he had the earring in. So then they had to continue having the earring in his ear to make it all coincide with each other. And it became an iconic part of Darth Maul, so much so that it's in his toys, it's in the video games, it's in the cartoons. Darth Maul has an earring.
And you wouldn't know unless you really look, because it's his cartilage at the very top of his ear. It's like a little silver ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But Darth Maul is such like a, I don't know, like a punk rock type looking character. Mm-hmm. That like it makes sense.
Yeah,
like it makes sense for him to have a little earring up there.
Spikes on his head. Yeah, very, very punk rock.
Very, very punk rock.
And before we end, I really want to say, like I said, as I got older, I liked different characters. Like, I loved Anakin as a kid. And now as an adult, I love Palpatine. He's one of my favorite characters.
Oh,
and I love Palpatine in this movie. I love Palpatine in episode 2 and in episode 3. In these prequels, I think Palpatine is one of the best characters.
I'd say looking at the prequels, one was probably the weakest of the three, but it needed that slow burn to get to where we ended in 3. So
I mean, every episode 1 of any show is slow. This is episode 1 of a 3-part series. It's going to be slow.
It was never made to be a single movie. It was made to be a piece of a bigger picture. And that's why I think it gets hate, because a lot of people are like, it was a horrible movie. But listen, you put 1, 2, and 3 together and look at it as a trilogy, it's awesome. It is. I don't care what you say. You're lying to yourself if you said that you didn't at least enjoy the prequels.
This week in Disney, and what did you do this week in Disney?
So I'm going to keep this short and sweet, because I know you did a lot in the world of Disney this week.
Yeah.
this week I saw it last week, Guardians of the Galaxy. I saw it on release night, volume 3. I'm going to keep this short and sweet for anybody who didn't see it. I talked to Joe a little bit on the phone about this movie today, and I think that this movie's a masterpiece. I think that this was amazing as James Gunn's swan song for the MCU, that if he's remembered by this for the trilogy that he put out, then he's one of the best to ever do it as far as superhero movies goes. If he never does anything good again in his life, at least he did these Guardians movies, because they were phenomenal. Volume 3 is borderline not a kid's movie. Like, it's very dark and sad, and like, you'll want to cry. Of course, you'll get those laughing moments, but it's just a deep movie. High Evolutionary, the villain in this movie, is a top Marvel villain performance, in my opinion.
That's the villain?
High Evolutionary is a villain, yep.
And then he's coming to snap soon?
That's why, yep.
Wow,
that's
amazing.
Alex, he modifies cards with no abilities in Marvel Snap.
Uh-huh.
He modifies animals as a character.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why he – and you'll see – once you see the movie, you'll understand more. But it's just a really, really good movie. Like, so usually I rate movies either very high when I first see them or very low when I first see them. Then I sleep on them. I kind of adjust it. I don't know, man. When I came out of that, I gave it a 9 out of 10. And a week later, I'm still thinking, like, this is a solid 9 out of 10. Like, it's just – I can't really think about anything bad about this movie.
So why not 10 out of 10?
Because it wasn't the perfect movie.
Okay.
Because if I rated it a 10 out of 10, that means that no movie will ever be better than Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And that's just not true.
Okay.
You can't rate something a perfect 10 out of 10. Or unless it's the best thing ever. And it's not the best thing ever. But it, as far as like Marvel movies go and as far as superhero movies go, it was just so good. It was a very different movie. And the storytelling was so good. And side note before I finish this off, Adam Warlock was so awesome. And the introduction of Adam Warlock, when they introduce his character in the movie, one of the coolest and most fun introductions.
Was he in Guardians to a character. Episode 2? Was he in Guardians Volume 2?
He was in a cocoon in the post-credit scene in Volume 1.
Okay, I thought he was in Volume 2 in that world of gold people.
And how they piece everything together is perfect. But yeah, just like as a stand, it's a standalone movie. But the after credit scene kind of gives you direction on where they're going to go in the greater MCU as a whole, which is awesome to me.
I know a handful of people who saw the movie and they all said it's amazing.
Well, it was very good, and when you finally get around to seeing it, I can't wait for you to watch it because it was awesome.
Yeah.
So that was what I did this week, Alex. What did you do this week in literal Disney?
Yeah, literal Disney. We actually went to Disney, me and my family, my 6-year-old daughter, my 4-year-old son. And we went to Disney World. And like I said, we told them we're going to SeaWorld. And when we turned off the highway to the sign of Disney World, we said, Emma, what does that say? And she read it. She's like, Disney World. She's like,
that's amazing.
Like, well, we're going there today. She's like, what? I thought we were going to SeaWorld. We're like, no, we're going to Disney World. And she started getting happy, and then Link got happy. We were afraid it was going to backfire because Friday night Link was talking about how happy he was to go to SeaWorld and see whales. And we're like, oh, man, did we like set ourselves up for failure? But once she was excited to go, he was excited to go, and they were both super happy. When he knew he was going to meet Mickey, he was ecstatic. And then my wife pulled out Mickey shirts from the backpack they didn't know they had to put on them and replace the shirts they were wearing. So, it was all good. But
that's amazing.
We got to the park for the Magic Kingdom line around 8:30. And we went in and got a pin for my son for his first first time at the Disney park. We met Mickey, which was fun. It was great. And then we went and rode Pirates. And we were done with those two things, getting in the park, meeting Mickey, and riding Pirates by 10:30. So that was
– wow. Like,
it was really fast. I mean, Joe has told me – Joe and his wife Mel has told us that lines aren't as long as they used to be somehow. And even though the park seems busier, the lines don't seem as long as they used to be. And I agree. The lines did not seem – now, Haunted Mansion line was super long. It was maxed out long. It was coming out of the line past other things. Like, it was a really long line. My wife went on Haunted Mansion after we went to Pirates. And my daughter did not want to go on it. She was spooked by the drop in Pirates and said she's never going to ride that ride ever again. And and so we went to Haunted Mansion. And she loves the movie Haunted Mansion. She loves that movie.
Really?
She's like, I don't want to go on the Haunted Mansion ride. And we're like, why? You love the movie. She's like, I don't like it. And we're like, but don't you like when they like you ride around and stuff and he like turns around and rides you down? She's like, that's why I wouldn't want to go on it because it goes backwards, downwards. And I was like, what? It's not a big deal. So my wife took Link, and he loved it. My daughter and I hung out. We went and saw a stage show for a little bit. Some shops. And then after that, we went to Small World, which was also not a long wait. I mean, it wasn't that long of a wait, Small World.
Awesome. How'd they like Small World?
They liked it. They liked it.
Yeah.
I thought Small World had characters in it. Like, I thought they hid characters in it.
No, Disneyland, they do.
Disneyland. Okay, I got confused. Yeah, so I was like, oh, we got to look out for characters, and we couldn't find any. I was like, what's going on here?
Nah, Disneyland.
Okay, Disneyland did it. Well, we got to do it here.
They're not at that age yet where you don't like Small World. You have to be like a teenager for that.
Yeah, no, they love Small World. And then we went to lunch at Pinocchio, which I don't know why, but I never knew was Pinocchio. Like, I guess I just never looked at it. We decided to eat outside because it was really busy. Good thing we did that because while my wife was getting the food, my daughter threw up everywhere. She threw up everywhere.
Oh,
she threw
at
up
the
her,
park.
At the park. She threw up her Wawa breakfast. I think she was getting too hot. And she threw up. And it was while she threw up, I was just sitting there like, what am I going to do here? I told a lady, and she came and put dust all over it and cleaned it all up.
Pixie dust.
By the time we were halfway done our meal, she was sweeping all up again. So after that, we went along, continued our day. We went to Belle Storytime, and Emma was the Beast, and Link was a extra. And if you don't know that show, you come in through amazing doorway. It starts off as a window, and then it expands
Alex,
into a doorway.
You could explain to me how that works, and I still wouldn't be able to wrap my mind around it.
As I'm walking through, and I'm trying to slow down because I'm trying to look in between the walls to figure out how this works. Because I know what's happening. I know it's going to happen. I'm looking at it, trying to figure out
what moves here? What is happening?
I'm convinced it's magic. I'm just convinced it's magic.
And then they pick out people to play characters in the little show they do. And my daughter was Beast, which was awesome. My son was just an extra, which is fine. And then we went and met Ariel, which was like a 30-minute wait. Very quick. My daughter asked her why she doesn't look like the Ariel in the movie.
Did she really?
And she said because of the lighting in here.
Is this real?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm serious. So my daughter was expecting the African-American mermaid, Ariel.
Which is kind of cool because I grew up with, you know, the whole Caucasian Ariel. Uh-huh. I wonder if they will be changing an African-American Ariel.
They will. Yes, my wife said that she saw an article where they will be updating Ariel soon at the park to match the movie. Yeah.
Well, first of all, what a save by Caucasian Ariel. That's a great answer.
It's the lighting down here. I guess. Whatever.
That's a great answer.
Ariel and lighting,
right? That's really cool that they're going to add an African-American Ariel. That's awesome.
And then we went and saw some more princesses. We went and saw Tiana and Rapunzel. We had all these rides, right? This was the longest line we had.
Which one?
Just meet Tiana and Rapunzel.
Wow,
it was the longest line ever. And I'm not lying. We were two people away from going in, and my son starts saying, "I have to poop." And we're like,
"Oh no!"
I'm like, "Well, we're almost there. Can you hold it?" And he's like, "I have to poop," and then he'll be like saying really loud, like, "I have to poop." And we're like, "Well, first of all, calm down, stop screaming. Also, you have a diaper on, so like, I guess just go for it if you need to. We'll change it afterwards. But also, we're almost there, so can you just wait? Can you hold it, please?" And he ended up actually holding it, which was awesome. But yeah, we met.
Well, I could see.
Huh.
I can see he was happy because every picture that you that your wife posted, he had a little thumbs up in.
That's
and it was
thing.
The cutest thing ever.
That's his
it
go-to.
It was the funniest, cutest thing. Like, he's next to Tiana with the little thumbs up.
Yeah.
They had like a double thumbs up going.
Uh-huh, yeah. I don't know what makes him do a double thumbs up, but yeah, he does thumbs up on every photo. I don't know where he got that from. I have no idea.
I love it.
Yeah, I have no idea. But we met the princesses, which was awesome. They were nice. They talked to you for a while. I guess that's why it takes so long. So every meet and greet has an automatic camera now that just happens automatically.
Oh, there's no photographers anymore.
No photographers. The people who, handlers, they'll be like, "Hey, say cheese to the camera," and they'll kind of point to where the camera is, and then it'll go off. But there's no one.
Like ChatGPT cameras.
I guess maybe someone's manning it in the control room. I have no idea. And then after that, we went to Pete's Silly Sideshow, which is the big top area. Over there,
nice.
Like the Goofy ride.
Love the photos from that. That looked really fun.
That Goofy, Donald, Daisy, and Minnie.
You met Daisy.
That was nice and cool, though. It was nice and cool in there.
Ah, nice. You took your time in there.
And then we went to the little, like, if you go out to the out area, they have like another little big top area with food, and we got ourselves some, treats to hold us over. And then we went to get lunch at Cosmic Rays.
How was that? Was he playing or was he shut down or what?
There was nothing on the stage. I don't know where he was.
That sucks.
But there was nothing. There was, it has such a big eating area. It's crazy. And we just did the episode.
Really?
And my wife's like, "Wow, we never ate here." I said, "No." And the food was okay. I got a chicken sandwich, but it had like relish on it and it just wasn't very good for me.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
But where we sat, we had a perfect view of the castle. And we were looking onto the little river they have there, if you want to call it a river. And it was a really nice eating area. Like, there was a lot of space, a lot of nice window seats and stuff. So if you go there late at night and want to have a window seat to the fireworks, that would be a great place to go. It's very close to the fireworks. And after that, we went to Monster's Laugh Floor.
How do the kids like that?
They loved it. It's so fun. I mean, me and Christine are still laughing when we went there.
I love that show.
It was so funny. And it was funny. They asked an audience member, like, "Where are you from?" And she's like, "New York." And he's like, "I know New York is an island in the Pacific," or something like that. Something dumb like that. And and then he went to another person. "Where are you from?" He goes, "New York." He's like, "I don't have any more jokes for that. I already did that joke."
It's like dumb humor.
It's so funny. I was not picked for anything, which is like the first time in forever. But that's because they didn't do the synopsis of the movie. When they do synopsis, I'm picked for Sully. And they did not do the synopsis, so it was not
Makes
chosen.
Sense.
But, hey guys, I know where that guy is. If you know that guy, if you're aware of what I'm talking about, I know where to be for that guy. And I'm trying to get my to be that guy. I know where it is. I have to say the general area. But In my mind, I'm not sure how I'll react to being that guy. I don't know if I want to be like surprised. I want to be happy, mean mug.
Right, right.
No idea. So that was our day at Disney. And then we went home and kids slept all the way home.
Amazing. Sounds like an amazing day. I'm happy that you guys finally got back after all this time. And then your son for the first time ever. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was very hot. It cooled down later because I thought it was going to rain, but it didn't rain. And no, it was good. It was a good day. It was a good day.
That's awesome, man.
At the parks. Can't wait to go back again. Next park, we're going to Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios, great. That's going to be awesome for them, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't.
Star Wars? Oh, man.
Yep. Mickey Runaway Railway. That'll be the first trackless ride I've ever been on.
Congratulations.
The Star Wars.
Preemptively.
Mickey Mouse Runaway Railroad. Okay. That's all I have this week in Disney. You're all done with this week in Disney as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that's the his on Daisy Duck. I'm Alex.
And I'm Chris.
Thanks for listening and have magical life.
Please follow us on all social media by searching DizHiz65. Share us and subscribe to our podcast to get the latest show when it is available. If you want to help us out, get tips, get your memories shared on the podcast, see pictures and videos of what we are up to at the parks, join our Goof Troop on Patreon.com and search for DizHiz.